Good evening. My name is Dawson Kearns. I'm a master's student under Dr. Scott Stewart at the University of Tennessee. And my research is over the effect of BT expression on bollworm distribution in the cotton canopy. So Tennessee generally produces between 200,000 and 350,000 acres of cotton a year. Over 98% of that cotton is herbicide resistant and BT varieties. And for the most part, cotton is mostly produced in the western portion of the state in that delta area. We do see a little bit in the mid-Tennessee area, but mostly it's in the western part of the state. Our target pest is Helicoverpa. It's a pretty significant pest of cotton. You don't want it in your cotton. It's bad. It can cause significant yield losses by feeding on directly on reproductive structures. Your most critical point controls, generally after first bloom, control methods consist of insecticides and transgenic BT traits. Unfortunately, though, field evolved resistance to both Cry1AC and Cry2AB have been detected. So occasionally supplemental insecticides are necessary with the use of these technologies. So what this is showing is field populations collected from the state of Tennessee. We ran bioassays, or I didn't run bioassays on them, but bioassays were run on them, and the resistance ratios came back suggesting a substantial amount of resistance in the populations. So I had two objectives for my project. The first one is to determine if and how the distribution of bollworms within the cotton plant canopy and among fruiting structures differs among non-BT and BT technologies. My second objective is to compare bioassays using various BT plant tissues and purified BT proteins. However, for the purpose of today, I'm going to focus on objective one. So bollworms, they know what they want. They have preferences when they're selecting feeding sites on the plant. Two factors that can affect this are both nutritional content and the level of BT expression in different tissues. This can influence where they choose to feed. So therefore, feeding preferences of bollworm may result in different feeding distributions, or feeding preferences of bollworm may result in different feeding distributions on different technologies. For the study, we had a split plot design with 8-row whole plots and 4-row subplots. This just was planted in Jackson on the research station there on June 12th, so it was pretty late planting. The whole plots consist of non-BT phytogen 425, wide-strike phytogen 444, and a delta pine, Bolgar 2 delta pine 1646. The subplots were either untreated or treated with a 16-ounce per acre treatment of Prevathon on August 21st, and ratings took place around the 5 to 6 nodes above white flower stage on August 26th. However, the Prevathon worked very well, and we didn't have very high survival on the treated plots. So essentially what we ended up with was a randomized complete block design. So we didn't sample the treated plots. Our sampling methods were very similar to plant mapping. We sampled random plants out of plots and sampled every node and structure on the plant starting from the top down, recording signs of feeding and larvae. We either sampled 15 plants or 25 larvae, whichever came first. And if 10 plants were sampled consecutively and no larvae were found, we terminated sampling in that plot. We used SAS proc frequency command to conduct our statistics. We used a chi-square at an alpha equals 0.05. So even though we had that randomized complete block design, that's not how we analyzed it. We used a chi-square. So we categorized our larvae as either large, medium, or small, with large larvae being 5 and up instars. The medium larvae were 3rd and 4th, and small larvae were 1st and 2nd instars. The top part of the canopy was designated as nodes 1 through 5. The middle was nodes 6 through 9. And the bottom was anything 9 or below. So on the left, those were the categories we used for fruiting structures in the field. However, some of those categories didn't have high enough sample sizes. So we recategorized for analyses. So squares and candled squares were counted as squares, white flowers, pink flowers, and new bloom tags were considered flowers, whereas small bowls and large bowls were considered bowls. So after this, what do we hope to get out of it? Well, one, we hope to improve scouting methods to be more site-specific or trait-specific. We also hope to determine the impact that BT may have on the efficacy of an insecticide treatment. And three, we just want, hopefully, to gain some better knowledge and understanding on the preferences of bollworm and these different technologies. So our results, the first two data slides I'm going to show you involve the vertical distribution of the larvae on the plant and the fruit damage pulled together, actually. So if we look at both larvae and damage pulled together across all technologies, we see that most activity occurred in the middle of the canopy, with the top and bottom portions being relatively similar. Now, when we look at each technology individually, comparing frequency distribution across the three, we don't really see a significant difference there. And even if we were to pull both Bolgar 2 and Wide Stripe together into a BT versus non-BT comparison, we don't really see any kind of significance there. So that's telling us that the middle part of the canopy is generally the most active, regardless of technology. So next we're going to look at the frequency of larvae and fruit damage. So all technologies pulled together, it seems that the bowl was the most commonly fed upon structure, with squares following and flowers being the lowest. We look at each technology compared for frequency of damaged squares, flowers, and bowls. We see the non-BT had the highest amount of damage, followed by the Wide Stripe and the Bolgar 2. We get a very similar look when we look at the amount of larvae on each technology. We had the highest frequency of larvae on the non-BT, followed by the Wide Stripe and the Bolgar 2. Next, we're going to shift. We're going to be looking at the frequency distribution of damage within the technologies. So keep in mind, we're looking at things proportionally. So we look at the overall impact of the trait from a damage perspective. We see that there isn't really a significant difference between the technologies. However, if we pull the two BT technologies together and compare them with the non-BT, we do see a significant difference there with that high proportion of bowls in the non-BT probably being what's making that difference occur right there. Next, we'll look at the larvae size within the technologies. Somewhat similar, when we look at each of them individually, we don't really see a significant difference. However, we're pretty darn close. So perhaps with larger sample size, we might have seen something there. But when we pull the two together and do a BT versus non-BT comparison, we do see a significant difference between the proportion of larvae on the BT and the non-BT, with the larvae on the BT tending more towards the small to medium range, and on the non-BT, we were seeing more the medium and the large range. So, in conclusion, it wasn't too surprising with the first bullet point. We saw BT reduced the amount of injury in larvae, with Bolgar 2 performing better than the Wide Stripe. The preliminary results showed that the most activity seemed to be in the mid-canopy, regardless of what technology you're looking at. So, as far as we can say right now, scouting in the mid-canopy may provide the best indicators of pressure or presence. However, more data is probably needed. We also saw the higher proportion of small and medium larvae in the BT technologies. So It seems that despite the resistance, there still appears to be inhibition on bollworm development. So this may end up having an impact on insecticide efficacy. And so the smaller larvae probably tending to feed on the flower and the square structures and the BT technologies, with the larger size larvae making their way onto the bowls. And so that's kind of what we're seeing here. Future research, we hope to repeat this same trial in multiple locations. However, we'll swap out the Prevathon for a pyrethroid. Hopefully we'll get more survival, and we can kind of get a look at how maybe the use of an insecticide may alter the distribution as well. And then we'll carry out our bioassays we plan to conduct. I'd like to thank my advisors, Dr. Scott Stewart and Dr. Juan Lewis, for helping me in the lab. My technicians, Sandy Steckel and Matthew Williams, and all my fellow students and student workers who helped me. And I'll take questions.
Any questions for Dawson?
So the question is, we're asking how many total nodes were on the plants. It really varied from plant to plant. So I don't want to tell you something incorrect, but I mean, when we sampled it, it was 5-6 nodes above white flowers. That's all I can really say with certainty. In the location. So like so what you're asking is the mid-sized larvae, if we were seeing a difference between the range where they were feeding compared to the BT versus the non-BT in the middle. I haven't really analyzed it that way yet, so I can't tell you for certain yet. This is kind of just preliminary data. So perhaps maybe next year.
More questions for Dawson? Thank you.
Thank you.